too. Well, 501 years ago, on the eve of All Saints' Day, October 31st, 1517, a young Roman Catholic priest by the name of Martin Luther posted a list of 95 theses, or statements, and requested a meeting of the church leaders to discuss and debate the substance of these 95 theses. At the time, Martin Luther had no idea what drastic changes this simple act would bring upon the church. But posting those 95 theses began a chain reaction that resulted in the events that we know today as the Protestant Reformation. We Lutherans celebrate and observe this last Sunday in October as Reformation Sunday, the birthday of the Lutheran Church, which is why I'm wearing red. You are wearing red. We have red paramounts, a very vibrant, alive, and eye-catching color. Yet today, I would like to talk about something that, if you could see it, it would not be vibrant or alive or eye-catching. Instead, it would be lifeless, dull, and ugly. If it were a taste, it would be bitter or rotten. If it were a smell, it would smell like an outhouse or a dumpster or sour milk. If you could touch it, it would feel mushy, sticky, germy. If you could physically feel it in or on you, it would make your heart heavy and make you feel nauseous. Today, I'm here to talk about sin. How sin can be oppressive and make us captive. Jesus mentions it in our gospel text from today, from St. John, when he says, "Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." And St. Paul mentions it in his letter to the Romans when he says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Thus, our theme for Reformation Sunday is sin. I'm guessing this was probably not on your top 10 list of things you wanted to hear in today's sermon. And that's because nobody really wants to talk about sin. In fact, the disciples didn't want to talk about sin either. For when Jesus started talking, they were captive or slave to sin, they said, "No, Jesus, we're descendants of Abraham, and we have never been slaves to anyone." They didn't want to talk about it, and we don't really want to talk about it either. But we're going to talk about it anyway. We're going to talk about the kind of sin that makes it hard for us to trust others the way we should, because we're worried that they may take advantage of us. We're going to talk about the kind of sin that makes it hard for us to share our stuff with others the way we should, afraid that there really isn't enough to go around and I better get mine first. About the kind of sin that makes it hard to imagine the future as God sees it and as Jesus preaches. Instead, we accept the status quo, playing by the established rules, doing the best we can, rather than going above and beyond and taking care of our neighbor. Do you relate to this kind of individual sin that plagues us every day in our relationships with others and the choices we make? We're not just talking about individual sins either. It's this whole broken and fallen world where we know that nearly every decision we make, from the clothes we wear to the car we drive, contributes in adverse ways to the health of the planet and the well-being of persons continents away from us. Can you relate to this? Can you read articles and watch news stories about oil spills contaminating our oceans and nature and wildlife, smog in our cities where we live and breathe, landfills overflowing with our trash and endangered species? We are all in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We can earn all we want, pretend all we want, say I'm okay every time someone asks how we're doing. But it doesn't change the fact that we are not living up to the vision that God has for us, and deep down we know it. Deep down we know that sin is powerful. In fact, it's so powerful that we are unable to free ourselves from sin. No matter what we do, we cannot get the keys on our own to open the cell of captivity that we live in. In fact, in one of Martin Luther's sermons regarding his reflections on the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John and the bondage of sin, Luther proposes how some people might respond when they realize that this sin thing is powerful and destructive, and they inherently want to free themselves. They might say, I will erect a chapel, endow a mass, go on pilgrimage, fast, become a monk. Years prior, Luther himself tried and failed miserably to earn the forgiveness and grace of God by punishing himself, by denying himself food, comfort, warmth, sleep, by flogging himself and spending endless hours in the confessional. But in Luther's sermon, after years of much study of the Bible and prayer, he goes on to say, no, let him who is called the Son of God deliver you from sin, then you are free. Luther is reminding us, and himself, he was reminding himself, that we cannot free ourselves. We must rely on Jesus Christ. We must put our trust and our hope for forgiveness and grace in his hands. And he will set us free. For in fact, Jesus says in our gospel for today, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Here is the good news. You are forgiven. It doesn't matter the sin. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. We have freedom. What a beautiful thing. I don't know about you, but I love that word, freedom. I think it's important that we understand what Christ is specifically talking about when he uses this word, freedom. It's a very popular word in our 21st century North American vocabulary. We often use it to refer to the emancipatory life, the concept of endless options, the freedom to live the American dream. The freedom to do whatever I want to do. There's no dictator telling me what to do. And this is a wonderful concept. But I think Jesus is talking about something a little different. Of course, Jesus loves to challenge our thinking and flip things to look at them in a new and different way. And in this instance, I believe that Jesus is talking about a kind of freedom that opens up a way to have a relationship with God and with others. He's talking about a kind of freedom that opens up a way in which you can see the world in a new way and how God is working in the world and how you can participate and play a part in God's kingdom. A freedom to love and serve our neighbor extravagantly. A freedom to care for the poor, a freedom to give witness to the gospel, a freedom to help our neighbor, a freedom to forgive, a freedom to share all that we have and all that we are, no matter what. A freedom that a woman named Sherry talks about in a story from her life. She says, and I quote, "My childhood was one of great fear. I grew up with an alcoholic father who frequently had bouts of drinking followed by fits of rage. I learned at an early age to run and hide in the safest place I could find in our home, but the truth is, there really was no place to escape. Even though my mother tried to hold the home together, I withdrew more and more. In the midst of my father's alcoholic rage, he would often say very abusive and demeaning things to me and my siblings. Caused me to live in fear, with a deep sense of rejection, mistrust, and hopelessness right into my adult years. How I longed to be loved by my father. When I was a young girl, my uncle came to our home and shared the love of Jesus with me. He gave me a small white Bible and prayed with me. I cried out to Jesus. I remember having a sense of joy, but the excitement would soon dissipate. There would be no one to teach or mentor me for many years. I know now, looking back, that God loved that broken little girl in that alcoholic home. As a hurting young woman, I looked for any circumstance that would help me escape my volatile home life. A man came into my life and offered what looked like love and safety. I moved in with him and we eventually married. Soon I realized that he had the same stronghold of alcoholism in his life. To my horror, the nightmare went on and my life became one of day-to-day survival. When I held our first baby in my arms, I desperately needed some reassurance and hope, knowing I was now responsible for this little life. Began to think about that little white Bible and the things my uncle shared with me those many years ago. I decided to go to church and learn more about Jesus. I was excited about learning God's word for the first time and yet terrified of anyone finding out what my home life was like. I continued my pattern of hiding even in the midst of believers. Then God did something beautiful in my life. I heard there was a Bible study called Healed and Set Free being offered in our church, and that there was one opening left. The Lord moved upon my heart, and I was able to set my fear aside and sign up. It was a decision that would change my life forever. This beautiful study took me back to God's word, and for the first time, I really understood what Jesus did for me at the cross. I realized that the sin of not forgiving my dad broke God's heart as much as that of my dad's sin. I began to see my dad now through the eyes of Christ, with love and forgiveness. I could pray for my dad now that I felt the love of Christ for him. I would visit with him without the bitterness or fear in my heart. Then a miracle happened. My dad chose to stop drinking after he became seriously ill. He began to seek the Lord and read the Bible. I would visit with him and he would talk to me about the Lord and ask me questions. Then one incredible day, my dad asked me to forgive him for all the wrong he had done to me. I was able to look at him with all sincerity and tell him that I had already forgiven him. It was a beautiful moment for both of us, and the thought of it still brings me to tears this day. My dad would pass away not long after this miracle, because the Lord showed me the way of freedom and forgiveness. I was able to have those final days of relationship with my dad. I will be forever grateful. You know, I think if freedom were a color, it would be the color of a sunset or a rainbow after a storm. If freedom were a taste, it would be refreshing and delicious. If freedom were a smell, it would smell like blossoms after a rainstorm. If you could touch freedom, it would be soft and light. If you could physically feel freedom, it would feel like peace and warmth. Freedom is a beautiful, wonderful thing. We are free to love and be loved, thanks to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the one who sets us free. Amen.